Let's talk about a kashrus issue. It's not exactly related. This week we learned about all the kosher animals. The simanim, what is a kosher animal, what is a non-kosher animal. And before you can eat the animal, it's not in this week's parsha. It's vizavacht. I don't even remember which parsha it is. I don't remember. But we have one word in the Torah which teaches us that in order, before you eat an animal, that's simanim, that make the animal kosher, that allow the animal to be kosher, you have to do a proper shechita. You have to slaughter the animal. How do you slaughter the animal? Basically, all of the halachas of shechita are halacha l'moshe misinai. Has to be, there are four halachas you're not allowed to do. Now, the animal basically has to be cut due to the sharpness of the blade. The sharpness of the blade without any pressure being applied, without any delay. Hagrama, drosa, what are the... Shehiya is delay. Hagrama is pressing down. It has to be the right location. It has to be without pressing down too hard. Not ripping. It has to be done, basically, it all comes down to, it has to be in a very precise location due to the sharpness of the blade, not due to pressure or not a ripping, a cutting, a ripping action where part of the simen gets caught in the nick of a blade and is pulled and ripped instead of being cut in a very delicate manner.
So this answers the question we had about a chazer. So a chazer, you would have to shecht also.
Why? Human, that's only because of animal rights. Not halacha. It's a dilemma. It's a very big dilemma. Okay, so you're coming into this concept that it's the most humane way to take the life of an animal is by doing the shechita. So that would mean that you should tsar balei chayim, if you have to take the life of a chazir, take it in the most humane way, which is to shechita. That's a chiddush. Okay, that's a chiddush. Don't take it through other ways, which according to the Torah is not as humane. All right, that's a separate topic of conversation. But lahalacha l'maisa, you're not allowed to eat unless it's done lahalacha kedas chedin, and that's the entire kashrus industry. I need not elaborate. You will know that it's a very, very complex issue. You know how to be a proper shaykhid, all the rules, the regulations, the halacha, the minhagim, what it says shulchan aruch and the gemara v'chulu. Here's the issue. That until about somewhere in the middle of the 18th century, when the technique or the blade, the knife was made from iron. Okay, the knife that was used for shechita, going back from the time of the Beis Hamikdash, from time immemorial, Vayikach ad Akedah, and it says in the Akedah, Vayik Vayishlach Avraham es Yado. What's the pasuk? Vayishlach Avraham es Yado. What was the macheles made out of? What was it made out of? Stone? No. It was made out of iron. The knife that Avraham Avinu used for the Akedah, Chayra, was iron. Because there was no steel. Steel was first invented. And not because it was invented, it could be steel they already had earlier, but it first became widespread, became available. I don't know exactly when the first time they had steel. I'm not sure how they make it, what they do with it, the alloys, what they do with it exactly. But it could be steel was around many, many a long time. But it was not available to the common man. Okay, everybody say, steel was not available until somewhere in the 18th century. That's when it became known. 1800s.
No,
1750, 1770. You look it up online. I think it was somewhere 17. There was a technique. There was a new technique in much later,
but
which made
the swords were hammered by the blacksmiths.
Yeah,
and they were putting in the this. They were using water.
So they already knew how to make. They already had
steel blades.
Right. When did they know how to make steel blades?
In the year 1000, for sure.
In the year 1000, really? Okay. But before that?
I don't know, because we had this.
Okay, that's.
I was in school. Okay. We were learning how to.
Okay, it could very well be true. So you're saying it already goes back 1000 years? Could be. In a Hanami. What?
There's no term for steel.
Because in the time of Tanakh, in rabbinic literature, the Talmud was sealed in the year 500, approximately. We're 2018.
The industrial use began.
It
began when it had efficient production, which was only in the 17th century.
Okay. Yeah. 17th century, 18th century. Can't be 17th
century. 17th century.
No, it's not accurate. Cannot be. It has to be 100 years later. Cannot be. It has to be somewhere. Yeah, what else? Where are you reading from? You could make steel. Right. So he said, but that was not even known. It doesn't exist. It's saying, it could be he didn't even, the whole idea, the thought of doing it did not exist. He's saying until the year 1000. I don't know. I mean, the point is, you don't find in Tanakh. That's iron. Iron. They mine iron.
Is it as sharp as steel?
No, it's not. It's not. They're mindless and chesroinus in iron. But the point is, in the time of the Torah, in the time of Tanakh, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, l'cho'ora, it did not exist. It was not known to the common man. We don't even know that it was known to anyone. This thing, and I don't know the science behind it and how it's done. This thing that we call today steel, and certainly not stainless steel. Okay, it did not exist. If the thought of creating such a thing, and maybe people on their own, they actually made steel in very, very small amounts, came about maybe in the year 1000, way after the Talmud was already complete, 500 years after Talmud was complete. Then it trickled a little. People began to become aware of it, but it did not become known and used. There was a new techniques were established to create steel in mass quantities until the 17th or 18th century. Okay, at the time when Hasidus first began to spread. So until that point in time, it's clear as day. There's no suffix about it. The macheles, the knives that were used in the Beis HaMikdash and by Shoichtim all over Golos was iron. Today, I don't even know if you can find one chalaf in the whole world. Maybe you can. I shouldn't say that. That's made from iron.
In the museum.
Maybe I don't even know in the museum. Maybe, yeah, probably in the museum. Maybe if even that. Probably rusted away by now, right? Probably is gone already, disintegrated by now. I don't know if you can find iron. That's how it was done, iron. Who was the first one to change the custom that Shoichtim? What's going to do when they build a Beis HaMikdash? Are they going to use iron or steel? Who was the first one? No, that you can't use. Lasers are no good. If lasers were kosher, they would already be using it by now. If lasers were kosher, they would be already be using it today in the slaughterhouses. Laser is not kosher. It has to be done with an implement, with a piece of metal with the sharpness of a blade. Who was the first one to do this? The Magid Mimazrich. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah.
Mezrich, who was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov.
He was the
Talmud.
He was the one that took over.
He was the Talmud. Now he was the Magid Mimezrich, the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. He came up with the idea that the Shoichtim should stop using iron and should switch for a new tool, a chalaf made from steel. Now, if you know something about modern day Hasidim, there's one principle that's across the board. Chodosh Oser min haTorah b'chol makom. Okay, you wear a strimal. Why? Because in Russia it was cold. It was cold, and they wore fur hats. So in America, when it's 110 degrees, you also wear a fur hat. A fur hat. What?
It was more than that. The Tsar wanted all the Jews
to look different,
like the nobles.
The nobles.
Like the pirates. Yeah.
So therefore, the Jews said, fine, we'll get dressed like the nobles. If you notice, from Poland, they wore a spodek. In Hungary and Galicia and Ukraine, they wore a strimal. Because the Polish nobles wore a hat that looked like a strimal. So the Polish said, oh, we'll get dressed like the nobles in the Ukraine. The Ukrainians said, we'll get dressed like the nobles in Poland.
Really?
So they
switched.
We'll wear it, but not like
them. Interesting. All right, that's a study in of itself of their method. But the whole mahos of Hasidim today, right? Look at the steam. This is a fascinating idea. Is chadash asar min haTorah b'chol makom. This is the way. Chasam Sofer, Chasam Sofer, a Litvak. Was what? Was not a chassid. I know. He was the one who coined that phrase. Okay, but this we all relate to this. We all understand that's tradition. They put others in it. Now, in the time that when Hasidah started, it was a civil war in Klal Yisrael. Mamish, a civil war. Because Hasidus then was not the Hasidus today. Today, it's all the one shalom today. Today, everyone has a form of the other. But at that point in time, those that were not part of this movement of the Baal Shem Tov viewed it to be heresy. Another Shabbos, they viewed the Vilna Goyim. I mean, what went on? I mean, it was Mamish a war. It was Mamish World War III in our times. Okay, World War Zero, Ground Zero. It was a very big thing, and they, the Hasidim, the Magid, Kerboisai, make him on afterwards. You can do it afterwards, not now. So the Magid. The Magid, he was mechadish something that the rest of the world, who was not part of this world of Hasidim, made a new chiddush, that no longer should you use iron, you should use a steel, and it shook up the world. It shook up that even though it's taka true, maybe iron is doesn't rust, and maybe we'll discuss the miles and the chesroinos in a moment. Even though maybe there's a very good reason why you should do it, but it's not tradition. And we're dealing with serious matter. We're dealing with halacha l'moshe misin. Everything about shechit is not really known to us. It's like tefillin. Who says the tefillin has to be perfectly square, and the shin, and like this, and like the gidin, and you put the parashios in this order, and this? It's all halacha l'moshe misinai. Shechit is halacha l'moshe misinai. You don't tamper. If someone will come along today and make for you a new pair of tefillin, with new material, a new technique, a new this, what are they going to do to him? They'll put him in cherim. Anyone say that the mechadish something new in tefillin, they'll say, out of your mind, don't
make tefillin today like you did 50 years ago.
But it's, you're right, you're saying good, but they're, at least they're not going to an extreme. They're not going to an extreme and doing things that are totally different. If they're going to do something, everyone's doing something that's totally different today.
You mentioned it with the pen.
With the pen, exactly. It's another example. Right, another example. If someone's going to do something today, right away, Olav Lahavi Roya, right away, you're looking for trouble. And this is a major change. It's a major change to switch the type of metal being used for the Shechita from iron, which was done for 2,000-3,000 years. Can you imagine? To change to a different type of metal, steel.
So how come it was accepted?
So it wasn't accepted so quickly. It was a big, big machlokes. Ad kidei kach, all of the Gedolei Yisrael, the Pidu al Zeh. Now, so some type of want to say, they just use this as an excuse to ban Hasidim. I mean, there was a civil war in Klal Yisrael, Hasidim and the Misnagdim. Oh, it's another raya that these people are not for real. They're not part of Klal Yisrael because look what they're doing. They're changing halacha l'moshe misin. They're changing the way, the traditional way of doing the shechita. It was a very good excuse, something to join the bandwagon in order to shtech them. But really, deep down inside, we wish, Halavai, we would be able to use steel because it would solve so many problems. But because it's a chassid, whatever he does is no good. So Memela, it feeds off itself. Many people who have studied history view the opposition of the other half of Klal Yisrael, what the Hasidim were doing, not as a sincere objection halachically, but just as an excuse. An excuse to get at them because the war was so intense. We can't even be masik how intense it was. Today, it's all a challenge. Everyone today is a chas, everyone's a litvak. There's no such thing today. It's kiman, no such thing today. There are very few chasidim today. Everyone today has the same values. Everyone today.
No, but what I'm saying. Purebred litvak.
I know, but it's every. But even the Hasidim are not pure Hasidim. Also, the values of the Misnagdim today have penetrated very, very deeply into the makeup, the DNA of even the most extreme chassid. That's the way it is. That's the world we live in today.
It's better that way.
It is better that way, of course, of course. Everyone, right. But it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that when it all started. So now, the Maggid, which was the second generation of Hasidim, came along and was Mechadish something, and it made a lot of sense. It solved a lot of problems, but it was used as a political excuse to make more trouble. And some, I can't say, everyone was like, there has to be people that were sincere. Among the Hasidim also, there were Hasidim on the same team that also, unbelievable, he writes over here, Uveroisham Talmud HaMuvok, the Baal HaTanya. Okay, also from the Kiv of Hasidim, when he heard, he was a Talmud of the Maggid, and when he heard the Maggid, Shaniel, he rebelled against his Rebbe because of this. And he already...
Because he was a
Litvak
originally.
All right, okay, now don't say that. That's a stretch. Uveroisham, the one who led the Mulchama, Talmidoy HaMuvok, Harav HaKadosh, Baal HaTanya, Zuchus Yogin Aleinu, Shaniel, he guided... Marocha Gedoyla Beinyanze, a bigger war. He from the own camp. It's not a kasha that the Mesnagdim fought. They rejected this chiddush and halacha. But the chiddush was that their own camp. Here, Rabbi, give me a few minutes. The chiddush was that from their own camp, the Balatanya, the Talmud, the third generation of the Hasidim rebelled against this. V'chos of kavachtam levarak tachana al pi halacha. Ad kidei kach, he writes over here something very, very chiddush. Look at this. Ubesefer kahal chasidim hechadosh. I don't know what heavy. Shekasher shama harav hakadosh bal toldois Yaakov Yosef zuchus yogin leinu es takonas hamagid. I guess he was also that tukufa.
There was a question who would take over from the Baal Shem Tov. The Maggid,
yeah.
And to everybody's surprise, it was the Maggid.
It was the Maggid. They thought it would be the Toldus. Everyone thought it would be the Toldus,
yeah.
But it went to the Maggid.
The Baal Shem Tov chose the Maggid.
So you'll say it's all political as well, I'm about to tell you now. But the Baal, the Toldus, who was the other prize Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, he suspected that the Maggid, there was something wrong. There was something wrong. If he can be mechadish to change the minhag Yisrael to go from iron to steel, he writes over here, hear her beliboy oidoiseha, heyoy shechidish dova shloihinik habal shemtoiv. The Baal Shemtoiv didn't do this. Steel already existed, was already widespread in the time of the Rebbe, the Baal Shemtoiv. And he did not institute any change. So why should the Talmud, maybe you'll tell me, it's a new thing which came into existence, new technology. What would Rav Moshe say today about this? What would Rav Moshe say about that? It didn't exist, Rav Moshe. It existed. And he let it go. He let it go. He said, continue using iron. So what is the Talmud now coming and Misakan Isha use steel? And it says over here that he was at peace. He was part of the same team, and it says that he went and he had a discussion with him. He asked him, "What are you doing?" He asked the Maggid, "What are you changing?" And over here he writes something very, very interesting. He writes over here and he says that during the time of the Baal Shem Tov, he was so holy. This is a Hasidus, of course. That Zuchuso, his Zuchus protected Klal Yisrael. There wasn't a chashash that the knives, the iron knives, would cause any problems in the Shechita. But now that the Baal Shem Tov has left us, so now we don't have someone protecting us. It's very possible, it's very likely, it's much more prevalent that there are pegimos, not pegimos, I'll explain to you, not pegimos, there's going to be issues in the Shechita using iron. We need to be more practical. And that's why he felt that Adarab, it's because the Baal Shem Tov is no longer with us, we have to be more practical and can't rely upon chance. Because chance or coincidence is not working in our favor, that we don't have Siyata Deshmaya, the Zuchus of a Tzaddik living among us. That itself is a very interesting concept. But what is the issue? So here's the issue. Here's some of the issues I want to touch on. The very interesting thing is, iron was... This is what he writes over here. Maybe he'll tell me. I'm just reading over here what it says over on the other side. It's a very good saying. Everything over here is just a leak. It's not quoting his own chidushim. Iron was thick. The blade didn't get more narrow as iron, a classic iron chalaf. The thickness on the top of the blade was the thickness on the bottom of the blade. It was a consistent thickness.
It looked like a rectangle.
Okay, whatever. They all look like rectangles.
It didn't come to a point. It was a
little thick. And it was very unlikely that there would be a nick. Because it was thick, because the edge of the blade was thick, it wasn't very likely that there would be a nick. However, being that it was thick, it was much harder to shecht.
It wasn't chad.
It wasn't chad, right? It wasn't sharp. So you had to go back and forth many, many more times.
It was cholok, but not chad.
It was cholok, it was smooth, and the chance of it getting a nick was very rare, because iron by nature is stronger, or it's thicker. That's the metzius. I don't know the metzius, so it's hard for me to understand. Well, I'm just saying words, which may not make much sense. You have to know the metzius. But the way he explains over here is that with the iron, you always hear stories today where they're checking the knife, right? They're checking with their fingernail. Oh, there's a nick. That's oiker. So then when the simen gets caught, it's not being cut by the sharp, it's being cut because it gets caught in the nick. That almost never happens when you're dealing with iron. Iron, it's always smooth as could possibly be. It doesn't develop nicks, but there's a trade-off. The trade-off is it's not as sharp. Being that it doesn't get a nick, the nature of the metal is such, it doesn't get a nick. If it doesn't get a nick, then, but it's thicker. If it's thicker, you have to go back and forth on the animal a lot of times. No, it doesn't. If the Torah says that's how you shach the animal, it doesn't create tsar. But by going back and forth many times, it may lead to shehia. You get tired. I'll shach. You stop for half a second is enough to passel it. Or you may get frustrated, it's just not going. You'll press down. So there's a danger that the shoychet will stop in the middle. It's a real possibility. We don't appreciate the technique of shechita. Today when they do shechita, the knives are so sharp. On a bird, a half of a movement is enough to kill the bird. Mamashef. A gas they do, I think, even once.
Back and forth.
With iron, no way. Iron, the way they describe, you're going back and forth 10 times.
And the animal can move.
Exactly. Animal moves, so that's drossa, it's pressure. And you get tired also, you lose the whole day. A shecha does the whole day, you're cutting the base, and you lose the whole day. You get tired. So, you don't even realize you may be stopping for half a second. You stop for half a second, that is called shehiyah. And that is one of the five things which disqualify. So, it has... Everything in life is a trade-off. This is the yisoid of chayim. Everything is a trade-off. So you have iron. Iron is, you're not going to get a nick in the iron. There's not going to be ikur, but you have other dangers. Shehiyah, you might stop in the middle because you're going to have to go back and forth 10 times and you may come to apply pressure drasa. So what's the alternative? The alternative is to use steel. Ooh, steel. Okay, the steel, it gets very, very sharp. Very sharp. You can do one cut back and forth and a bird. It's like almost in one shot. The chashash of shehiyah and dross is almost non-existent. It's like butter. Okay, mamash, you take a hot knife and butter. No, you don't have to worry about it. But the chance of getting a nick is a very real possibility. That's the nature of the game.
But that you can check physically.
Oh, so you have to check. Well, you have to check. The Gemara talks about checking the iron also. When you check the iron, you have to check as well. Now, today I read online that today, when they do gasoys, if you have the best knife, and it's mahudur, it only can do 20 shchitos at most. After you do 20 shchitos, even without touching a bone, they mess up very easily. If they go and they do a shchita, they twitch the wrong way, and it touches a bone, they go too far, that's it, you're done. You got to go check the knife, you got to sharpen the knife. It's a big avoid. The sharpening takes a lot of practice to sharpen the knife. It's not so simple. The techniques, special people to train you, special stones from different parts of the world. It's a whole chokhmah of the type, the metal, where they get the steel from, where they get the stones to sharpen it. Every sheikh is very protective of his... And the secrets of how
there are only three guys in the United States who make
knives. And Eretz Yisrael, it's unbelievable stuff. What goes on, the chachma that goes into the chachma of making a steel knife and how to sharpen the knife. And the best scenario, the knives are so sharp, after 20 animals, that's it. It's over. You got to take out your stones. Your next knife, you got to take out the stones. You got to work it all over. That's how delicate they are. Can you imagine how delicate the knives are after 20, without touching a bone? Just the regular, the bare minimum. Go back and forth, back and forth 40 times. That's it. The knife is done for the day. The knife has to be resharpened. So you see the danger. You see the danger. If you got an iron knife, I don't know the details, but it sounds like the iron knife can go weeks before it gets a blemish. So the feeling was, it's kedai, the trade-off was worth it. Even though you're doing something...
Well, they didn't have mass production alone.
The trade-off was worth it, even though it's a pellet. Today, they would never get away with it for one day today. To change such a basic minug for 3,000 years, you're using iron, and all of a sudden you're going to use steel? Today, it would never happen.
If they develop an alloy, that's even better.
Well, you know, so that's why I said, today it wouldn't happen.
They won't let them do it.
Because today already it's become, today we live in a world where there's just too much going on. You're saying very, very good. Let's say they develop an alloy where you never need to check it. You never need to check
ceramic.
It.
Ceramic.
No,
it would have to be a metal.
Let's say it's even, let's say, would people accept it? Probably not. They would say, you know, Chodosh awesome in Atara B'chomach. Oh, but the Maggid changed from a tradition from 3,000 years to changing to steel, and they were Mahar Acharav. The wars waged over this. Okay? The Balatanya went Meshug over this. Unbelievable. There's a trade-off. Every life is a trade-off. Now, here's one very interesting issue, which you see, this is why today you couldn't get away with it today. They were able to get away with it then for whatever reason. The Gemara talks about when you check a knife. The Gemara mentions this. The Gemara, when you check the knife, you have to check it against your fingernail and your flesh. Your flesh also. Today, if you take a steel knife and you check it against your flesh, you do it on an angle, guess what? You're in the emergency room. You'll be in the emergency room the next day and you're out of a job. Okay? It's not shaykh today kimat to do what it says in the Gemara, when you check the chalaf, that you should check it against the tzipoiren to feel the sensitivity of a nick in the blade and your flesh. You'll cut yourself without a hesitation. Iron, you can. Iron is not so sharp. Iron, you can roll it against your both together. There's a sensitivity, a nerve sensitivity in the flesh, a nerve sensitivity in the fingernail. Okay, you do try, you have these different sensitivities and they work together. Okay, there's a depth, the combination of the two together is not equivalent, the sum is greater than the parts. The sensitivity of the nerve in the flesh with the nerve and the fingernail is greater than one of them, one without the other. So you can't do that today. Oh, but it says in the Gemara! It says in the Gemara you have to check with the Basar also. How could the Maggid, one thing the Maggid wants to change the metal, but everything else is the same. But by changing the metal, you're taking away the bedika. The bedika isn't that even a bigger chiddush? Today you couldn't get away with that. Now in modern world today, you couldn't. Impossible.
Yeah,
what? Who wrote this? You don't like what I'm saying?
No.
Nasan Gottlieb. Gottlieb. He's a.
Rabbeinu Google says that Shnei Zalman was the one who introduced steel. And the reason he introduced it was because there were a lot of shapsayim, shapsi tzvi shachtim, and they were putting on purpose nicks into the knives.
In the iron knives.
In the iron to pass the shrita to give you traitors. So steel is shiny,
Melutush.
Like you hold it inside and you see right away if there's a scratch.
Besakin melutush. It's called besakin melutush.
Listen.
Google is Google.
No, but when you say...
You have to, okay, you're right. This is not the whole Shulchan Aruch. This is just one little piece of the puzzle. You're right. I'm telling you
it's
over here. I'm just telling you a little piece of the puzzle over here.
Everything
over here has sources. You're right. Okay, I'm not clear there. Yeah. That was the Gemara. That's right from the Medrash. The Medrash says they changed from a stone. That's right in the Medrash. This already is a modern thing. It touches upon a lot of very interesting things of changing minhagim. But it's interesting that I never knew this. They had different knives. There used to be iron, steel, and controversy. This is a whole period of history. I never knew this. I never heard this about this.